Father, as happy and as wonderful, as joyful as Mother's Day is, and we thank you for each and every one of them here today, we also especially want to pray for those who find today particularly difficult, for those who've lost their mum, those who've lost their kids, those who desperately want to be mums but can't. Father, we pray that you would comfort them especially through your word and through your people. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Andrew actually happened to mention some of her quirky habits. Let me share with you one of my quirky habits, because we've got them all. We've all got one. My quirky habits is to pay attention specifically to car number plates. Call me weird. Feel free to call me weird. But on Tuesday this week, I found myself behind a car that had this particular number plate up on the screen, which I thought was very appropriate for Mother's Day. You get it? Yeah? Being a missus, being a mum, it's a 24/7 job. Yeah, okay, good. Now, if that's your car, by the way, can you come up and say hello to me afterwards? I'd love to meet you. Motherhood, in fact, parenting in general, it's all filled with all sorts of demands, all sorts of time pressures. You know, babies cry, nappies leak, dishes pile up, lunchboxes need to be filled, kids vomit. Siblings fight. There's the driving here, there, and everywhere. There's the challenges of raising an anxious daughter, an aggressive son, friend issues, tantrums, puberty. Not to mention what happens after puberty too. Dating, marriage, jobs, money. And just when you think your kids are off your hands, they move back in. You get the call up for babysitting. Now, if you're here today, you're a guest, you've been invited along for today, so glad that you're here. As Brandon said, we're going to do things a little bit differently today. So, because it is Mother's Day, about halfway through this talk, my wife Teresa, as a mum of four kids, is going to come up and speak as a mum to the other mums and kind of give you guys a window into what life is like for her. Because if there's one thing that we all are, especially mums, it's that we're busy. We're busy people. And here in Luke chapter 10, we're going to find the closest thing to Jesus preaching a sermon on busyness. See, there's two women in this story. One's called Martha, the other one's called Mary. And on this day, Jesus drops into their home. Now, Martha's response, do you remember from that story that Gabby read out for us? Jesus is in my house. I've got to prepare some food. Let me get some drink. Let me kind of get the place ready because the Son of God is here under my roof. Now, in Middle Eastern culture back then, same as today, and in my Asian culture too, to not welcome your guest, to not give them the very best food and drink, to not make them feel welcome, well, that was a big no-no. That's what makes Mary's response so countercultural here. Did you see that? You know, she just plonks herself down, doesn't bother lifting a finger, and just hears what comes out of Jesus' mouth instead. Two sisters, two very different responses, and Jesus' verdict, come verse 42, is this. Verse 42, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, I think we all get that Mary's supposed to be our role model here, our example. But as Gabby was reading that passage for you, I wonder if you kind of felt yourself siding with Martha, that you were sympathetic towards her. I mean, it's not as if she's here in the story, you know, she's not glued to her phone watching kittens breakdance on YouTube here. She's not doing that. Someone's got to heat up the oven. Someone's got to pack the chairs. Someone's got to set the table. You know, one of the things I love about my own mum is that she's always up for a chat. Especially, I feel like I can talk to her about anything and the serious stuff in life. But look, I've got to come clean. You know, as a family of four kids, I appreciate the Martha in her. She comes over to my house. You know, she says hello, kids, grandkids, gets herself a drink. And then my mum's the sort of mum that can't sit still, right? So in about 30 seconds, she's like sniffing around. What housework can I do here? You know, what dishes can I clean? What clothes can I fold? And look, I got to come clean. This shirt was actually ironed by her. I'm sorry. Now, it's not as if Teresa's watching Bachelor in Paradise, okay, while this is all happening. She is busy with other stuff, more important stuff. You know, taking a kid to netball, preparing dinner, supervising homework. It's not just mums, I think, who can sympathise with Martha here. All of us, we can all rattle off something else that needs doing, can't we? Phone calls need to be returned, bills need to be paid, assignments need to be submitted, emails need replying. In fact, we're probably in a day and age now where actually being busy, that in and of itself is a kind of a badge of honour. You know, how are you? Oh, I'm busy. It's kind of like a badge of honour we wear. It shows that we're needed, that people want us. Now, put yourself in Martha's shoes here for a sec. Her sister thinks she's a bludger. And, you know, probably by now she's probably received her fair share of, you know, death stares and you know, eye rolls and kind of a hands on the hips, you know, come on. The aggressive, passive-aggressive comments. But now she gives Jesus a piece of her mind. Verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus' response in verse 41, Martha, Martha. See, that the repetition of that tone, it's kind of like the exact opposite of Martha and the way that she approaches the situation. Yes, Jesus does care. This is the same Jesus who, over in John 11, raised Martha's brother, a guy called Lazarus, from the dead. This is the family that Jesus wept tears for, cried over. That's how much he cares. And in verse 41, he diagnoses the issue spot on. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. He sees right through to the issue. He can tell that Martha's all worked up. You know, she's fussing, she's fretting, she's anxious. She's got worries. And I reckon the key word that describes Martha here, it was there in verse 40. It's the word distracted. Martha was distracted. She was busy multitasking, whereas Mary was concentrating on unitasking. One task, that's it, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha had made the mistake of letting the urgent crowd out the important, of letting the good become the enemy of the best, of not putting first things first. And let's be honest, if there was any generation that was more distracted than any other that's gone before it, surely it's our generation, isn't it? With all our smartphones that we can just pull out and suddenly the world is at our fingertips, little icons on the screen all vying for our attention, you know, Netflix, watch me, podcasts, listen to me, Facebook, check me. It's all there on the screen. You know, there was a survey done of about 8,000 American Christians, and this survey revealed that 70% said that they checked their social media and email before the disciplines of reading the Bible and prayer. I'd be part of that 70%. Friends, it's time to redeem the smartphones that we use to sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's minimise screen time and maximise scripture time. You know, I was so thrilled to hear of a growth group that meets here on Tuesday morning. It's full of mums with young kids. And they were challenging each other to think about, you know, as they're up at 2 a.m. trying to settle in their child, how can they make the most of that screen time at 2 a.m.? How do they make the most of that for Jesus? Teresa and I, we're a bit slow on the uptake, but this last few weeks, we've become big fans of the Bible app that you can get on your phone. It's called YouVersion. Can I commend it to you? You can, as it says there, read, watch, listen to the Bible, and you can share it. You can encourage other people. Teresa's starting reading with one woman here at church, and what they do is they read the same part of the Bible, a question pops up to which they will post their responses, and it's a way of encouraging one another to keep at reading God's Word. For me, this is a window into the distracted life that I live. Turns out you can be a pastor, you know, paid to preach, paid to read the Bible, and still be distracted. That's what sermon preparation was like for me this week. I'd roll out of bed, you know, before, while everyone else was still asleep, and I was faced with this dilemma. Do I jump straight into work mode and keep chipping away at this talk, or do I sit at the feet of Jesus and read the Bible for myself? Do I do the thing that, in a sense, all of you here today are seeing, hearing, evaluating, or do I do the thing that no one else sees, but only God sees? Jesus cuts through all of our distractions, all the stresses, all the worries, all the endless to-do lists. As he says in verse 42, few things are needed, indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better. And what Jesus is saying here is that whether you're a mum or whether you're a mechanic, whether you're from Malawi or from Malaysia, one thing is needed, just one. It's for your soul to be fed by me. Hearing me, obeying me, living for me, that is core business. It's core business. Ahead of your work, before your family responsibilities, above your hobbies and your pleasures, before your social life, more important than your church responsibilities, being with Jesus outranks doing for Jesus. I'll say it again. Being with Jesus outranks doing for Jesus. That's why a good number of our ministry roles here, before you step in, you actually need to be part of a small group. That's a non-negotiable. We want to make sure that you are being fed yourself before you feed others. It's why those who are involved with Sunday kids and youth programs, you know, we ask them, okay, you're going to serve in one, but which service are you going to sit in? That's this Mary Martha principle being worked out. You serve in one, you sit at the other. Friends, at the end of the day, what Jesus is after is devoted disciples, not distracted ones. Devoted disciples, not distracted ones. Jesus wants our devotion, not our distractions. Of all the worthwhile, all the necessary things that are out there worth doing, Jesus says feeding your soul, that's always the better thing to do. And do you notice here that Jesus actually doesn't prescribe, you know, how long or what time of day that's supposed to happen? That's for you to figure out. You've all got 24 hours in a day. For some of us, you might start with 5 minutes, because a few unhurried minutes is better than a distracted hour. And consistency is the name of the game here. That's why we call our prayer and Bible reading here at church undivided attention. We're giving God our undivided attention as we open up his word, as we talk to him. Now, as Teresa, in her heavily pregnant state, starts to kind of waddle up onto stage, let me tell you about my grandmother. My grandmother died about 10 years ago, and she was a beautiful model of this passage for me. I was a young Christian at the time, and I still have very distinct memories of walking downstairs, and just before I went to open the door, I'd see through the crack, you know, her on her knees praying. I'd see her reading the Bible. I'd hear her singing a song. Now, unfortunately, my Cantonese was never up to scratch to be able to talk to her about Christian things. But man, I can't wait to see her again in heaven. I can't wait.
I didn't waddle, did I? Now, confessions. My first significant mum memory is the birth of our first child and waiting to leave the hospital. We'd just been checked out. Dan had just gone to get the car, and I burst into tears. Not because of hormones, maybe that played a part, but I burst into tears because I can still, even now, remember the terror that just washed over me. I was so deeply fearful of this sleeping bundle next to me because I'd prepped for the labour, I'd prepped for the pregnancy, I had birth plans and, you know, subsequent plans, but I didn't have a manual for what was going to happen next. They just kind of hand you this baby and say, you got a car seat? Off you go. And I just felt not up to the task. I didn't know what was needed, what I needed to do at every single moment of the day for this young, tiny little baby that I was suddenly responsible for. Do I feed? Do I play with this baby? Do I do tummy time? What is tummy time? when they're sleeping, do I shower? Do I sleep myself? Do I read my Bible? Do I reheat that cup of tea for the third or fourth or fifth time? Notice how I didn't actually say exercise or cleaning the house, but so sorry to my family. But I'm at a different stage now, so I have different questions. Do I allow my children too much TV? Do I give them enough opportunities for sport, for music? Am I disciplining them enough? Am I giving them enough independence? Do I guide them enough? It's a different stage, and I'm sure there'll be different questions in the future, but it's the same question. What do I need to be a good mum? To be honest, and for many of you I've had these conversations, I often feel like a failure. My days are wasted. My efforts are futile. Right now, I'm a stay-at-home mum, but I feel like I get nothing done, nothing of value. And on my worst days, I feel like I've psychologically traumatized my children because I haven't fed them organic food. I haven't read enough to them. I haven't prayed with them. I've lost my cool too many times. But Mother's Day reminds me that almost 10 years ago, my role in life changed forever. I became a mum and I always will be that, even when my kids are long gone from my home. I might become a grandmother one day, and that involves a different blessing and burden as well. But today's Bible passage points me to the fact that that's not who I truly am, or at least that's just one part of it, being a mum. I am, and you are, someone who's created in the image of God, and by God's grace, through Jesus, someone who's been adopted into God's family. It's really easy, really, really easy to be distracted by the good. As a mother, a friend, a daughter, a sister, a worker, that to-do list is never ending, and there's always something or someone that's just needing our attention and our energy. And perhaps after that, we're just distracted by our lack of energy. I'm distracted by television, internet, a good book, just something else. I am someone who struggles greatly to sit by Jesus' feet. It feels easier, it feels more productive, I guess that's the word, to be organizing something, to be helping someone with their homework, to be cleaning or tidying, meeting with someone, and there seems little time in the day to actually just sit without distraction. It was a struggle when I first entered motherhood, but really, to be honest, it's always been a struggle. When I was working, when I was studying, and even now, sometimes when I just have the house to myself a couple of mornings a week. Take this week, for example. I knew this passage was coming up. I really wanted to just sit and spend time with God, because that's what this passage is just calling us to do. But I reorganized my pantry. It looks really good, but I spent, two half days reorganizing my pantry. Distractions, they come in different forms. I fluctuate between trying to do it all, climbing this impossible mountain of tasks, and then I just give up and I hide in my pantry and I eat chocolate from my kids' party bags and watch YouTube videos. But as I think about why I'm more like Martha than Mary, I see that my problem is wanting to achieve, wanting recognition for what I do. Look at the pantry. Look at what I did. Look at who I've helped. I want to get stuff done. I want to get a pat on the back for it. I'm more like Martha. I'm task-focused, and I see the needs that need filling. And I think as women, many of us do. We see these needs. We want to help. But I want to be busy rather than just be a child of God, sitting with Jesus because he's invited me to sit by him. But God's word shines that spotlight on who I truly am, not just a mum, not a working mum, not a studying mum, but simply a child of God. So what do I want or need this Mother's Day? Well, I got a dressing gown, which was very good. Food, flowers, sleep, massage, time to myself, all those things are great. I love those vouchers where they give you things and they said, we will do these chores without complaining. Those are always great. But I want to remember, like Martha, that my identity as a child of God and a friend of Jesus is the most important thing. And I want my truest need to be met. I need to sit and listen to Jesus. The urgent often consumes the important. And so on Mother's Day, but every day, I need to be reminded to choose what's needed, just as Jesus puts it. The story of Mary and Martha reminds me of Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Mums or women, I love that we're great talkers. It's super easy to share vomit and poo stories, tips on how to manage tantrums, work and home balance. We can talk about our exhaustion, our heartache, our worries about our children. We can talk about our never-ending lists and the things that we feel guilty about. But the question I want to ask is this: how can we, in a non-awkward way, talk about how we are listening to Jesus? Just like our kids, it's one of my favourite times of the day, when they sit and listen to the bedtime stories that we read to them. How can we remind ourselves to sit at Jesus' feet, just like Mary did, and to love listening, soaking up everything that God has to say to us? I think that as we keep our ears listening to Jesus, it helps us to remember that we aren't rewarded for what we can achieve by ourselves or through our children. Our hope isn't in moving on to that next stage. You know, oh, I'm so glad they've slept through the night, that baby's sleeping through the night. The toddler, he's finally toilet trained. A kid's starting school, a kid's finishing school. Our hope is in relationship with Jesus. My poor soul sister Martha, I don't think Martha was wrong. She was just distracted and confused about what mattered more, just like I am. And Jesus said, Mary chose what was better, and so should we. I was really horrified a few weeks ago when my son accused me. He said, "You are always on your phone, Mum." It's really awful. But imagine if that changed too. "You are always reading your Bible or praying, Mum." Friends, I struggle so much. I would love to model that to my children, that my greatest priority isn't my success or their success, happiness or perfection or comfort or anything else. It's listening to Jesus. So how have I tried to do that in the different stages? Well, Dan's mentioned some already. And maybe, hopefully, you can share some of your own after the service. But here are some from my seasons so far. When we had just one newborn, Dan remembers, I barely remember, that we would sit and read in the evenings while I fed her a psalm a night. I barely remember it, but I treasure that I was sustained by God's word through that fog of early motherhood and encouraged by my husband to keep my eyes on Jesus, even when I was completely exhausted. Another, I spent time reading the book of Philippians for over 6 to 12 months. Another pregnancy, another baby. It took that long, not because I was reading commentaries and doing solid Bible study. It's just because I kept falling asleep and I needed to read those verses again and again and again and again. But soon those truths became familiar enough for me to hold on to. I remember those years when hardly anything was sticking in my head. I couldn't read the Bible solidly, but singing with my church family, singing with you guys for 10 minutes each Sunday was my sermon. To enjoy and praise God and remember his goodness was enough to sustain me. And finally, making the effort to get to small groups and church has been a blessing, though I can remember so many times with tears or cynicism just saying, "What was the point of that? Why did I bother even changing out of my pajamas today?" There's been so many times I've said that, but over time and in hindsight, spending time with God and his people and listening to Jesus and community with you all has been so valuable. So, Mother's Day may be bittersweet. Some of you are mums, some of you may be mums in the future, or at least you will know a mother. Please be thankful for mums and all that they do, but remember and please remind them of what is truly needed and what's truly offered in Luke 10 in this passage. Perhaps you can free them up to indulge in what they need to do, spend time with their Lord, especially if they struggle. And so, mum friends, Life is busy and in every season, and I've been assured that all the seasons ahead of me are going to be full of the same. We'll be distracted, worried, anxious in some way, just as our sister Martha was. But will you make a Mother's Day resolution with me? Let's put our giant to-do list down and sit at Jesus' feet to listen, to really hear him. Martha was so distracted that she almost missed out on sitting with Jesus face to face in her very own home. It sounds impossible, but it's actually so easy to do. The relationship that Jesus offers is really too wonderful to miss out on. So, put it simply, let's listen to him. Please remind me to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what we really need. And I'll be working hard to help you too.
I just want to have a word to the dads. The Lee kids and I, we gave Teresa the dressing gown, all that sort of stuff this morning. But it dawned on me last night that the best gift that I can give Teresa as a mum is time with her Saviour and King, day after day. And so to the dads and future dads here today, let's do whatever it takes. Let's, take that initiative to free up our wives to hear the word. That might mean settling a child outside in the garden room while she gets to stay in here on a Sunday. It might mean putting the kids to bed yourself or getting home early from work so that you free her up to get along to small group. It might mean being proactive, rearranging the schedule so that she can have fellowship with other women, at the women's events or at team meetings at church, etc. I know one dad who consistently would give his wife Saturday morning off. He'd take the kids, he'd do the sport runs, all that sort of stuff, so that she would have time to head to a cafe, have time in the Word, and then do whatever she wanted to afterwards. I know another dad who, during those breastfeeding years, would just put a Bible here, there, everywhere in the house, so that as soon as his wife sat down, there was always a Bible within reach. Now, both Teresa and I want to end this morning by saying that after hearing a talk like this, it's very easy to feel guilty. We've already kind of talked about that. But can I just say, it's wonderful that you guys are putting this verse into practice right now by sitting in those chairs. And so we want to end not so much with us convincing you of why you should sit at Jesus' feet, but rather letting Jesus convince you of why you should sit at his feet. See, we listen to people all the time. We listen to our boss, we listen to our friends, you listen to your financial advisor, you listen to your personal trainer, your doctor. You go and listen to these people, but how much more so do we get to listen to Jesus, the one who has the words of eternal life, the one who, as we saw earlier, cares for us. The very next chapter in Luke, a woman calls out to Jesus about his own mother, Mary. And she basically says, Jesus, your mum would be so proud because of who you are. She is blessed. And Jesus says in 11 verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Friends, when we sit at Jesus' feet, that is the source of true blessing that never runs out. Sitting at his feet, acting on his words, obeying him is worth it. And Satan's lie is to make us think that Bible reading, all that sort of stuff, that's a chore. Just another thing to be ticked off the to-do list. A bunch of meaningless and empty words. But this passage, this story ends with verse 42. Mary chose what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Hanging out with Jesus is not a waste of time. They are words that keep on blessing us again and again and again. Words that will stick with us. Words that will transform us. Now, there's this super helpful book called Crazy Busy by Kevin DeYoung. And he says this. It's up on the screen. He says, by spending time with the Lord in word and prayer, we are likely to gain new perspective on our hassles and headaches. Starting each day with eternity makes our petty problems and long to-do lists seem less significant.
By sitting at the feet of Jesus, we will grow more like him, more patient, more loving, more thoughtful. We'll see that our screens do not satisfy like our Saviour. We'll see that wisdom was not born yesterday or 34 seconds ago on social media, and we'll learn to keep our complaints to a minimum and our eyes on the cross.
Friends, we want to say that if you're here today and you're someone who wants to begin this journey of sitting at Jesus' feet, that is a wonderful thing to do. You want to hear about these words that can never be taken away from you. You want direction rather than distraction. You want meaning and purpose. Then why not make Mother's Day 2018 the Mother's Day where you choose to sit at the feet of Jesus, where you choose not so much what is better, but ultimately what is best, for that will never be taken away. Come speak to Teresa and me afterwards. We'd love to chat, but for now, let's pray.
Our dearest Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are God who offers relationship. We thank you that you are speaking God, a God who offers us to listen, who wants us to listen. Please make us people who love to listen, regardless of whether we're mums or not. Your word is clear. So please give us undivided attention. Please help us to keep first things first. Please help us to guard our time with you, because your words will never be taken away. We thank you for these precious words in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.